Well, good morning. We have a fun announcement this morning. Over this past year, we have been in a deep search for two pastors to join our staff, and they are here today. And so Pastor Jill and Pastor Rory, would you stand up? It's very exciting. We're throwing them into the fire right away. Pastor Jill's preaching next week and Pastor Rory the week after that. So we're excited. And we're in the book of Leviticus and they're looking at me like, what are we doing? Just like you guys do every week. We're doing Leviticus. Blood on the horns. That's right. Well, a couple years ago at my previous congregation, I was in a conference room with a couple. And we had been sitting in this conference room for several minutes. I wasn't really sure what we were doing and what was happening. And the husband started to talk and started to encourage his wife to speak. And she really had a hard time talking. She was tearing up a lot. And I could tell she didn't really want to be there. Now, as a pastor, I can usually tell when people don't want to talk to a pastor. It gets uncomfortable because something deep is about to come out. And after more encouraging from her husband, she began to share. A couple months before that, she had been caught stealing from her company. It was a financial theft. It was a small company. And they were able to work out a deal where if she paid all the money back, that they wouldn't prosecute her. And she told me the deep pain and guilt that she felt, especially as she had to clean out her office and walk that walk of shame. Again, it was a small business and everybody knew what had happened. And she had spent the next couple of months in her home, not leaving her house, because she wasn't sure if she was going to run into people who knew what she had done. And she felt enormous amount of pain. And you could just see the darkness kind of surrounding her. But one of the really fun, joyful things I get to do as a pastor, and hopefully you get to do in your own roles as pastors in this world, is to help walk somebody through confession and able then to proclaim forgiveness. That yes, you stole, you're paying for that decision. There are ramifications for decisions, but you are not a thief. That's not how God sees you. God sees you as God's child. You've been named, you've been claimed, you are God's child, and you are forgiven. God loves you. I was able to proclaim Romans 8 to say there is nothing in this world, no heights, nor depths, nor angels, nor demons, nothing that can keep you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Even that. And you could tell that she started to believe it. She wasn't sure. She started to believe it. And then weeks after that conversation, I started seeing her at church. She started going out into public. She started to believe. And she started to, maybe for the very first time in her life, accept the benefits of forgiveness. Forgiveness brings benefit. Forgiveness brings us back into community. Forgiveness reminds us who we really are. Yeah, we do something that's illegal or bad or we hurt somebody else, but who we really are is that we're God's child. And that moves us back into community. This is what God has been doing for a very, very, very long time. If we remember the story that we've been on, we started in the book of Genesis where God's looking for a partner. God's looking for a partner who will be God's people on this earth, finds Abraham. This family begins to grow. Then the family grows so large, they're kept as prisoners, slaves in Egypt. And then they're freed. They're freed. There's a battle between the God of Abraham and Pharaoh. It's a battle between empire and shalom. Pharaoh's all about empire. God, Yahweh, is all about shalom. And remember what shalom is. Shalom is healing and wholeness. It's putting the most vulnerable in the middle of the strongest and being able to make that journey from wherever they're going with the most vulnerable in the middle. Empire is all about strength and the strongest of the fittest, and I can get there before anybody else can. And God says, this is a new project. We're not going to do that. I'm going to train you in to shalom. But God also knows that we're going to blow it, that we're going to mess it up. We're going to steal. We're going to hurt. We're going to do things to shalom. We're going to shatter shalom. But God continues to try to shape us. And so at the very beginning of this project, after they get out of Egypt, God begins in this weird book about blood and fat and fire and guts and all this weird stuff. In all of the middle of all of those verses, God puts in there systems on how you get back home. When you shatter shalom, God says, I have a way for you to get back to shalom. Do you remember in that reading that Pastor Sarah read this morning, do you remember what the final word was? Anyone paying attention? All the word about the blood on the horn and the fat and all the stuff. Remember what the purpose was? They would be forgiven. Thank you, pastors. They would be forgiven from the very beginning. We sometimes think that forgiveness only comes with Jesus, when Jesus shows up on the scene. But forgiveness has been around for a very long time. And yeah, God uses these weird sacrificial systems that we have no connection to today, but God uses what they knew. God uses what they already knew how to do and flips it on its head and said, this is all about forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's so important to God that the writers of Leviticus used a tool, a writing tool. Remember this tool we talked about in Genesis called a chiasm? Either a verse or a chapter, you'd put the most important part, the thing you really wanted people to remember, you repeat it and you put it in the middle. We read that in Genesis, right? The story of God creating humankind. God created humankind in the image of God. In the image of God, God created man and woman. Image. That's the most important part of that scripture text. Well, the writers of Leviticus hid a gem, a chiasm, right in the middle of the book of Leviticus. Chapter 16 is the middle of the book of Leviticus. And chapter 16 is all about the Day of Atonement. The day where they all gather together and the priests do all of these elaborate sacrifices, all for forgiveness. Forgiveness. But something that Leviticus also writes in there is, who is this forgiveness for? And all these instructions, well, the forgiveness is for individuals, so you and me, individually. Community, the whole community. Forgiveness is for the entire community. Forgiveness is for the king. There's a separate opportunity for the king to be forgiven. Isn't that interesting? That God would say, the king's going to screw up. The king's going to mess it up. Here's a way back for the king. And then also for the priests. God says, the priest is going to mess it up. The priest is not going to do everything the right way. Guess what? I'm going to give the priest a way back. Everybody in that community has a way back home. The individuals, the community, the ruler, the king, and the priest. God said, this forgiveness is for everybody. because I know you. I love you. I've created you, but I know you. And I know you're going to mess it up. And also that comes with the instructions is when they become aware of their sin. See, forgiveness really doesn't have any benefit if you don't think you need it. It doesn't really have a benefit if you don't think you need it. There's no freedom. There's no reconciliation. There's no new identity if you don't think you need it. 15 years ago, I found myself sleeping on my couch at home. And it wasn't because my wife and I were in a fight. Well, we were kind of in a fight. A snoring fight, let's say. And I slept on that couch for like a year and a half. It was bowing in the middle. It was like, you know, shaped to my body. And we had been in a fight over, I needed to go to a sleep study. And I said, that's for old people. I'm not doing that. Well, after the foundation of our house started to crack because of all the vibrations from my snoring, I decided to go in. Did a sleep study, slept overnight just down the road here, and come to find out that my breathing was impaired. It was stopped breathing 42 times every hour. 42 times every hour. My body was asphyxiating itself. And what happens is when you stop breathing when you sleep, you never really get down to a good sleep because your heart starts pounding to wake you up just enough so that you start breathing again, and then you do this, and you constantly do that. And guess what that does to your blood pressure? Skyrockets it. Anybody else done this sleep study? Don't raise your hand. Okay, there we are. Right. I could usually tell my fellow CPAP wearers if early in the morning there's just a little line right here. Yeah. I had the same thing. I didn't know I needed it. I didn't know I needed it. It's just like forgiveness. Sometimes we don't know we need it, but when we confess and we realize that we are broken. Yes, we're beloved and we're loved, but we're also broken. The benefit of forgiveness is there. It's like being able to breathe again. And that's what this woman in the conference room several years ago was able to do. She was able to breathe again. Her blood pressure went down. She started coming back into community. Now, I have to tell you, I know what forgiveness is like. And I learned a very valuable lesson when I was 19 years old. I worked at a Bible camp in Alexandria, Luther Crest Bible Camp, through my college years. And I got there when I was 19 years old, my first summer, and I felt freedom like I never had felt before. We were creating skits and writing songs and doing these campfire things and playing games, and it was unbelievably creative. And I started hanging out with 5-6 other people, and we were the most creative counselors that summer. We were writing the funniest skits. We were writing the most awesome songs. All the kids loved us better than anybody else. That's what we thought, at least. And wherever we went, we formed this clique. We didn't have any idea of what we were doing. Our immature egos were running wild. We thought we were super cool, while everybody else, all the other counselors, thought we were jerks. And so did the camp director. So one day, we're having a staff meeting, and the camp director, in his wisdom, put us all in a room together. We had no idea that this was happening. And he spoke truth to the whole group, and he pointed us out. And then he invited the other counselors, 19, 20, 21 years old, to share the pain that they'd been in because of our actions. It was an amazing lesson. Because what the camp director knew is that shalom had been shattered. And we were all into our own egos and empire and all of that. That's what we were. It's so seductive. The camp director said, no, we're not about empire here. We're about shalom. And you shattered it. But one by one, as those other counselors told us the pain that they experienced because of our actions, they said, we forgive you. We forgive you. We forgive you. 19. That was only a couple years ago. So still pretty fresh. But it was a lesson that I still think of to this day. Forgiveness changes who we are. And whenever we gather together at our camp reunions, we're all in our mid-50s now. We hug each other and we love each other. And sometimes we even joke about how we were back in those days. But forgiveness changes who we are. Forgiveness reminds us who we are. I don't know where you are in relationship to forgiveness. Are you living in deep guilt, shame? Has your ego run wild? I don't know where you are with forgiveness, but I'm here to declare to you that forgiveness is for you. Sarah led a confession here this morning. We don't do that just because it's, you know, something that we should do or something that, you know, is on our list to do. We do it because we believe it actually makes us different people. That you can breathe again. You can remember who you are. God has named you. God has claimed you. God has called you God's own. And God is asking you and me, all of us together, to trust the story. Trust the story. But maybe there's the flip side. Maybe you are shattering somebody else's shalom. Here's the not-so-secret secret. We all do it. We all do it. Not just 19-year-old kids. Maybe you've shattered somebody's shalom, and maybe you've come to realize that you've done that very thing. You know what I would encourage you to do is to pray and think about a way to have conversation with that person that or those people that you've shattered shalom. And to say, I'm sorry. I hope you can forgive me. I'm sorry. I hope that you can forgive me. And you know where we can probably start? Is in our own homes. My wife is constantly saying, I'm sorry, to me. You get it? It's usually the other way. Usually the closest to us, we shatter their shalom. And sometimes those are the hardest people to say, sorry, will you forgive me? You are loved, you are known, you are not forsaken. No heights nor depths, nothing in all of creation can keep you from God's love in Christ Jesus. In Christ, therefore, there is no condemnation. Will you live it? Let's trust the story together. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks that you continue to find a way back home for us. Even when we wander off and we go all different kinds of places, all the empire building that we invest our lives in, you bring a way back for us. Help us trust it. Help us live it. and help us help others know it too. We ask all this in your holy, precious name. We all sit together. Amen.